So we're going to take a look at a question that came in, and the question is, what are the similarities and differences between the biblical definitions of relationship and fellowship? When I look at this question, I'm going to have to restructure it because there are distinct differences between the two. Of what is a relationship and what is fellowship. One is not possible without the other. Therefore, they are related, hence the word relationship, to each other, that kind of forces us to take a look at their individual definitions and how the Lord uses them in Scripture. But before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. We'll get going. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the time. Thank you again for all the food and those that prepared it, and Lord, just the blessing of being able to be downstairs and, Lord, speak to one another in ways, Lord, that I pray were godly and edifying. Thank you again, Lord, for all you've done this day, and I pray, Lord, that as we close this day with a service that inquires of you from your word, answers about questions with relationships and fellowship, the Lord would take a look at this, and we would use all that you have given us in a way that would glorify you and please you, including our hearts and minds, Lord, that they would be humble and ready to receive. Thank you again, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. And this I do ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we've talked a lot about relationships, and we have had a whole series on relationships and what those are. You're going to have a relationship that is defined in such a way as a familial relationship, as in your family. Somehow, some way, you're related to somebody, whether you like it or not. And you have a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, cousins, aunts, uncles, and whatever's filled in between. And all of those are related by blood, if you will. They're related by family. They're related by the same lineage. Sometimes you can be related in such a way that you're from the same country, but not necessarily the same bloodline. Sometimes you can be related in a way that is based off of what you have allied to. And we talked about that this morning. And we saw the word fellowship being used in that, that chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, that specifically talks about fellowship with the wrong things. But when we talk about relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a blood relationship, but it's not our blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us related, that we can call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is something that is there. Now, in order to have fellowship, there has to be some sort of relationship with those individuals that you're having fellowship with, whether it's a friendship or it's a family or it's a coworker or it's a parental or even, you know, congregational. One way, shape, or form, we're going to have a different form of relationship with different individuals. Now, granted, we should have a certain type of relationship with each type of those groups that I just mentioned, that's different than the rest. It is generally unwise to have, you know, I've heard this taught before where parents say, well, I just want to be my child's best friend. No, don't be their best friend, be their parent. That's important. You can have a friendship that develops later on, but it's going to be based off of a parent, and a parent has certain responsibilities and duties according to the Word of God. Don't mix the relationships up. Otherwise, your fellowship is going to be wrong. So when we take a look at fellowship, we have to kind of define what it is that we're looking at. Now, when we define fellowship here, we're going to define it in a biblical sense. And I want us to take a look at this. And we're going to start off with just some standard definitions. And then we'll get into Scripture here. Biblical definition, we're going to take a look at the etymology of the word, where it came from, where its word origin is. And we're going to take a look at kind of what a dictionary is, and I'm using this as kind of a leaping into what we're going to talk about, and then we're going to see exactly what the Bible says about this. Because we find that the etymology is, it comes from this idea of sharing of resources. Essentially, it's goods and properties and monies that are being put together in a partnership. And the idea is that they lay something down together, and it's a shared participation or partnership. And that's kind of what we see as the root of the word fellowship, with fellow being included in there. So at its root, it's not just some sort of social interaction. Sometimes people think social interaction is fellowship. It's not. It's much different than that. It has a deeper purpose. But what we find with that word fellow, and we've talked about this before and what that means, is it means a fellow is somebody that has a same life, the same purpose, and the same, dare I say, investment or risk that is involved in something. And that's kind of what we see from the financial and business world, and the idea of what a fellow is in that business world and business management. But what we find in Scripture is you find the word fellow being used over there with Daniel and his three fellows. And what was that? They shared the same purpose. They wanted to please God and not defile their bodies with the king's meat. So they had a shared purpose. And again, they were fellows, and they were at a very young age. They were children. And they were going through one of the toughest things that has ever happened to children. And we were talking about this morning. That's an important factor in what we do. And when we take a look at that, we see that they made the right decision. Amen? And they had the same purpose. They weren't going to go off in different directions. They were going to do this together. And that's really what fellowship is involving, is it's the same life and the same purpose. It's the same putting together and pooling in, if you will, in edification to build something, and that is the body of Christ. Webster, he defines a fellowship as companionship, consort, company, association, joint interest, partnership, communion, and familiarity, and close familiarity, to be specific. And what we get from that idea is that it is a relational closeness. That's where relationship comes in. Your fellowship with your parents is going to be different than your fellowship with your friends. Now, that's just how we work in the world. But first and foremost, before you have any of those type of fellowships, your fellowship has to be with the Father. Your fellowship has to be with Christ. If your fellowship is not with God, that fellowship and the relationships are not going to be holy unto the Lord. They're not going to be what God wants. So we begin to realize that with this relationship, this closeness, this companionship, there's a partnership that takes place to do the same work, to do the same purpose. It's a deep, close participation. Now, I use all of that to say this, to show fellowship is not just standing around sharing a cup of lemonade. Fellowship is working together. Fellowship is where you labor together. Remember all of the fellows that Paul had? He had a fellow prisoner. He had fellow laborers in Christ. He had fellows this and fellows that were involved in the ministry, and they were doing the work, but they were sharing the same purpose of glorifying God and pleasing God specifically. And that's what we find about fellowship and what this involves. So when we start looking at the biblical definition, let's go ahead and turn to 1 John. We start looking at the biblical definition, we find that it involves, again, participation. It involves communion together with people. It involves a partnership. And it involves sharing something in common. Now, look, I know that word sharing is kind of sometimes bashed in Baptist cultures and things like that, because we always talk about share and stuff like that. Sharing is a biblical thing, okay? Let's understand that. Let's not shy away from the word because the world used it incorrectly. Let's use what, we talk about with, the things of the Lord. There are things that we look at and we see in Scripture that they came together with same purpose, same accord, all to do the same work. And this is what we are talking about. And they came together and they had things in common and they used things in common to please God. And in 1 John chapter 1, we find here that he says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." This is where it starts, folks. This is where fellowship is defined for you biblically. This is where we take a pause and we say, okay, if we are going to fellowship one with another, where does the fellowship start? It's a fellowship with God first. If you want godly fellowship, you've got to have a fellowship with the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to wind up having some things unequally yoked, like we talked about earlier. You're going to start having some issues. You're going to have some bumps along the way. So what do you need to have? You need to have that same fellowship. And he says, this is what we're doing. This is what we're declaring unto you, that you'll have that fellowship with us. Well, what is he declaring and what is he showing? It's the word. It's the word in verse 1. It's the word of truth. It's the word of God. Look, I will tell you this. This right here will be the best source of something to talk about and fellowship with. This book right here. Look, we do talk about things, and we talk about stuff that goes on. We talk about things that we like. That's fine, okay? I'm not saying that you can't talk about guns or Lego or green beans or whatever floats your boat, okay? I'm not saying you can't talk about things like that. But what I'm saying is when you want true, genuine fellowship that is to do work together, it has to be based out of the Bible. It has to be based in truth. Right. If it's not based in truth, it's a difficult time to have fellowship. Do you ever have fellowship with somebody that just constantly lies? Easy there. Gets difficult, doesn't it? It's tough. It's hard. But what we find is that the Lord clearly shows us that real, true, genuine fellowship centers around the truth of the Word of God and if you will, our fellowship with Him. Our fellowship with Him. So when we look at the biblical definition, it is agreed participation in Christ. It is agreed participation in Christ. It's not something that we do outside of Him. It's not something that we do on our own. It's not something that is made up of our own will. Well, look, you see this, and I know this adage has been used time and time again, but when it comes to fellowship, what's the first plane of fellowship? It's vertical. It's with the Lord. And if I have it with the Lord, then I can have this. I can have fellowship with you. If I don't have this, there's no support for this. This means nothing. This is just social interaction. And as we've already established, most of us are introverts and we don't like social interaction, so this becomes difficult. Amen? So what do you need first? This. I will tell you this. You can take a believer that is not socially mature. I'm trying to be careful with my words here. That really does not like talking with other people. But then you start talking about something they love. What happens? You can't shut them up. You can't. Look, believer, that's the way we're supposed to be. Look, I get it. You don't want to talk about cars. You don't want to talk about whatever and things like that. Okay, fine. But look, talking about the Word of God, that's work. Now, I don't think many of us think about that as work. Sometimes we think of fellowship as laid back, right? That we're just taking it easy. That we're just like, oh, just like, okay, well, No. Fellowship is working together. Fellowship is that agreed participation in Jesus Christ, where we are saying, hey, we're going to have fellowship with you. And what we find in this book, in 1 John, about fellowship is that it takes a great deal of love. It's hard sometimes to love believers until we realize how much Jesus loved us. And that's what makes fellowship even possible. That's what makes fellowship readily available for us. It's got to be with God first, and then it's with other believers. So it makes it difficult, and we are talking about specifically with believers here versus unbelievers, okay? I think we've already established this morning, unbelieving fellowship can cause problems, and it does cause problems. Take a look at verse 7. Same book, same chapter. And he says this, he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. That is a great verse, right? But did you ever ponder it and think about it? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You know what's difficult? It's difficult to have Christian biblical fellowship with somebody that is deeply involved in sin. Man, it's a struggle. It's difficult. I'll give you an example. You got a friend, a believer, comes up to you and says, hey, you want to go hang out today? And you're like, yeah, sure. And you're driving somewhere and you don't know exactly where, and you're in the car and you're having a conversation, you're talking about Bible and you're talking about all sorts of things. And he pulls up and he says, hey, I just got to stop in here for a moment. Can you go ahead and put this mask over your face? We're going to go inside the bank for a moment. Wouldn't that be a little tough fellowship? You'd be like, federal prison is not on my things to do in my life. That's not a bucket list thing that I want to do. So no, I think I will skip that. What's wrong with you? Well, sin's the problem. There's something in the heart. There's a lust that's there that shouldn't be there. I mean, there's all sorts of things. But again, if we are walking in the light of the Word of God, and we are walking in the light as believers, and walking in the light of the of truth, guess what happens? Fellowship. Fellowship is a natural thing that comes when we are doing what God wants us to do. Not only fellowship with God, but fellowship one with another. And this is exactly what he's saying. He's saying, look, if we're in the light, we can have fellowship one with another. Because he starts going on and he starts talking about, if you got sin in your life, that's tough. It's hard to have fellowship. You can't. It creates an issue. And again, that fellowship requires that light that talks about the same truth. The same truth. It is hard to talk to and have fellowship with somebody that believes something that is contrary to Scripture. That's their own doctrine. And trust me, I've met some people along the way that they've got, like, you know, I've cued you in on some of the stuff that I've heard from pulpits that just, oh, it makes me cringe. But, you know, it's tough when you got somebody that, you know, it's clear right in the Bible, it says this, and they choose not to believe it. I mean, that's difficult. I mean, if you've got somebody, let's take one that we all believe. I am going to assume that you're all saved here. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, some of you are. Some of you are still in food coma. But if you're saved, give a good hearty amen if you believe you're saved and you can't lose it.
Amen.
There you go. Okay. Anybody believe otherwise? Oh, praise the Lord. We can have fellowship. You ever try to fellowship with somebody that believes they can lose it? That's tough. That's a tough thing. That's a doctrine that is important to us as believers. Amen. If we couldn't earn it in the first place, how are we going to retain it? Well, it's all in God's hands anyways, so it needs to be in Jesus Christ and not in ourselves to keep salvation. And praise God for that. that that's what he says in Scripture. And there's verse after verse after verse that shows that, where they'll go and they'll pull some obscure verse out of some Old Testament passage or some tribulation saint passage, and they'll try to throw that up there and say, well, look, I can lose my salvation because I didn't endure to the end. And I fell to temptation once, so I must not be saved. Ugh. Man, no. You're going to have tough time fellowshipping. But I'll tell you this, that's not light. What they believe is not light. That's not light. So fellowship requires the same truth. It requires the same holiness. It requires the same direction. And that's what light does. Light reveals where things need to be cleaned. Light reveals where the dirt is, light reveals where the sin is. And what does light do? Light is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, right? It shows us where we're going. It gives us that direction. Turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul really drills down to this, kind of like John does, talking about fellowship, and it's got to be fellowship in light, and it's got to be fellowship in truth, it's got to be fellowship in the Word of God, it's got to be fellowship with God, it's got to be fellowship with Christ. And we can say amen to that. And then Paul says, okay, here's where we're going to go in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 5, he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And what is he doing? He's saying, always in every prayer of mine making requests with joy. And what is he joyful about? The fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Man, I'll tell you this. Fellowship in the gospel is important. Yeah. Fellowship in the fact that we are all coming together because of what happened on the cross and at the tomb that brings us together. That's what inspires fellowship. Not physical similarity. Not even relational similarities. I'm going to be cautious in how I say this. I love my brother. It's hard sometimes to have fellowship with him. I can have a relational fellowship in the form that we're brothers, but I cannot have fellowship with him like I can with a brother here, like I have with like Mike Perry or Dale or Craig or Jeff or John or Chris or Brandon or Tim. I have a problem. I can sit there and talk about things of God, but he doesn't want to listen to it. We're not fellowship in the gospel together. I'm going to point you out, brother. Curtis shows up here and instantaneously his last name drew me because of my knowledge of racing. And he likes cars, and I like cars. And we probably like fast cars. We probably like fast cars a little too much. probably has gotten us in trouble. But I will say this. That's not fellowshipping in the gospel. Because maybe he likes Ford. Whatever one you like, brother, it's fine. Yeah, I'm not picking on you, okay? You know, maybe he, I'm going to just use a random, maybe he prefers Ferrari. And maybe I prefer McLaren. Maybe somebody prefers one brand over another or something of that nature. And we have like playful banter back and forth about who's like the better racer or who's got the better team or whatever it may be or something of that nature. And we can have something of that kind of conversation. But you know what true meaningful conversation is? When he edifies me and I edify him, we're talking about stuff about the Bible. Because what brings it together is the fact that Jesus Christ died for both of us, and both of us have received that free gift. Amen?
Amen.
That's fellowship. That's fellowship. And when we start thinking about this, we begin to realize that this is participation in Christ. This is fellowship in labor. This is fellowship in edification. This is all fellowship in that regards. And it goes beyond something that is material. I mean, you go over there in Acts chapter 2, and everybody jumps on, or all the socialists jump on Acts chapter 2. Because all of a sudden they're like, well, that's where everybody was sharing everything, and we should all pool resources together. Anything. I don't see a commandment in there that we're supposed to do that. God's not a socialist. God's a, if you labor, that's what I want. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's a biblical thing. Amen? So we find that very clearly there are things in there, but then we care for others and we help others and we're generous. And we do those things because the Lord gives us to help give to other individuals. But what we find in Scripture is that this goes beyond just a physical thing. And sometimes people get so narrow-minded that they think that fellowship is just physical, being present. Hey, have you heard this term that is coming out now of the quote-unquote, just be present? And I'm like, come on, it's more than that. It's more than that. And I get what they're talking about and things of that nature. But, you know, the Bible talks about when they cry, does he say just be present? No, what does he say? Cry with them. Mm-hmm. When they laugh, do you just stand there? Mm-hmm. Like you just got smacked with a wet salmon? No. What do? You laugh with them. What is that? You're beginning to have fellowship together as believers. And we begin to see that this goes beyond just a physical thing. This goes beyond just some social interaction that is physical. It's because we're connected together the way that the Lord has designed it. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Let's just take a look at that real quick. I just want to point out one part. Acts chapter 2, and in verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And everybody goes on and talks about all this other stuff down below. In verse 45 and so on. But I want to focus on verse 42, because before verse 45 and the rest of that shows up, verse 42 is naturally before verse 45. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There you go. All right. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You know what's good fellowship? Praying together. Now, you know, obviously the Baptist jumps on the breaking of bread. It's potlucks, you know, right? And they jump on that as part of quote-unquote fellowship, but the breaking of bread is, we're talking about like the Lord's Supper. Right. Like actually coming together for the purpose of recognizing what Jesus Christ has done for us and what he's doing in our lives right now. Amen? But what you see is very important is that when it comes to fellowship, notice what it says. They continued steadfast in what? Doctrine, right? There's truth. But they were continuing in, you know, steadfast in the doctrine, meaning that they were unmovable in their doctrine, but at the same time, they were unmovable in their fellowship. People talk about the differences of what happens when you grow up. When you're in school, you have a lot of friends, don't you? Unless you're homeschooled. Trust me, I was homeschooled. But I still had friends in youth group, right? Because I went to church and had friends in youth group. So there were some friendships. But as you grow older, what happens? Friends leave. Friends move away. You don't always keep in touch with all your friends. I mean, how many of us keep in touch with some of our friends that we had from youth? How many of us avoid the friends that we had in our youth because of their influence in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? You know, you're like, there's some that I don't have contact with for a reason. But I say all that to get to this point. When it comes to believers, we continue in a steadfast fellowship. It doesn't just turn on and turn off. It's a continual flowing. Well, I don't feel like fellowshipping today because my social battery is done. Well, praise God, we're not based off of our own flesh and our own social battery. Well, I just don't feel like socializing today. Oh, okay, well, I get that. But you know what? Sometimes you got to take the phone call. Sometimes you got to have fellowship. Sometimes you got to do things of that nature. Sometimes those type of things happen because it's what's necessary for growth and fellowship in the body of Christ. So when we start taking a look at all of this about what fellowship really is and kind of coming up with a biblical definition, I would define fellowship like this. Fellowship is a spirit-produced partnership in communion with God that relates to other believers involving their shared life purpose, truth, and participation in Christ and His work. That's what it comes down to. Fellowship is not merely socializing. Fellowship is not shallow friendship or association. Fellowship is not unity without truth. Man, it's hard to be unified if there's no truth. Ephesians 4 takes care of that. We read the verse this morning over in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, where it says, "What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" They don't mix. They don't mix. True fellowship is truth-bound. True fellowship is Christ-centered. And true fellowship is holiness-dependent. That's what fellowship is all about. I'll summarize it to those that really like the one-line tweet-type definitions. Fellowship is partaking in Christ together. Partaking in Christ together. You know, in a few weeks, the youth are going to go up to the youth camp. And while I'm not going to be there, other adults will. And, you know, our prayer should be that they have Christian fellowship. Tell you when a young person gets a hold of the fact that Christianity is, pardon my foolishness, a participation sport. They start learning. They start growing. They start realizing, hey, all of these things that the Lord has connected in my life with people serves a purpose as we all run the race to the final goal. Well, what's the final goal? All glory, honor, and praise to our Savior. To please Him with the life that He has given to us because He laid down His. Keeping that in mind will keep you in the right frame for fellowship. Amen? And then hopefully this answered the question about relationships and fellowship. This is the biblical, and I know the world uses the term fellowship, and they use the term fellow sometimes in a wrong sense or in a sense that means things of the world, and they will do that. But we as believers know what real, true Christian fellowship is based off of Scripture. So hopefully that answered our questions. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You again for the time. Thank You again, Lord, for all that You've done for us this day. Lord, I thank You for the fellowship with Your Word, with You, and with believers here, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we're all keeping in mind, we're all laboring for the same thing, to please you, to glorify you. We labor to edify one another, to build according to your plan. And we labor to see souls saved, that they would be added to the body. And I thank you so much, Lord, for the truths that you give us in your word. Pray we take all of what we've learned today, all of what has happened today, that has been for your honor and your glory. And Lord, you would just continue to have us meditate upon it, that our thoughts, Lord, would be on you. And thank you again, Lord, for those that are here. And pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.